As I said, I'm going to be over the next, won't be in the next 5 weeks, it'll be over a period of time, looking individually at each of the fruits of the Spirit and what it can mean to us as individuals and as a fellowship, and also in our service of God and what He sent us out to do. Now, it's the new year. Happy New Year to you all. Have you all made your New Year's resolutions? How many of you broken them already? Yes, I don't make New Year's resolutions anymore. It's pointless. You know, I mean, unfortunately, one of my weaknesses is that final one, self-control. I have all the self-control of a two-year-old. So I say, right, this year, 2019, I am going to lose all that weight I've put on this year. I am going to eat nothing but vegetables and fish. Ooh, chips. Ooh, is that mince pie? Okay, right, okay. I'm going to do good things. I am going to get up at 4 o'clock every morning and I'm going to spend 2 solid hours in Bible study and prayer. 4 o'clock, you've got to be joking. Night, night. Self-control, well, yes, I'm working on it. I am working on it, but I don't make New Year's resolutions. But I have made in my own mind one, and that was to think about what we as a church do. And it's something I'd love to do with my fellow leaders and to do with all of you if you join me, is to look at everything we do as a church to see if it bears fruit. There's that word again, fruit. Everything that we do, does it bear fruit? Does it follow our church's motto? Can anybody younger tell us what our church's motto is? Go on then, oldies. All together would have been really nice. Being God's family, helping other people to know Jesus. And it's such a special motto because we are a family. And like a family, we sometimes get on really well. We sometimes fall out. We take pride in each other. We get on each other's nerves. But as a family, we want to grow closer and closer together. But in doing that, we want to reach out to all those around us and help them know Jesus in the same way that we do. But we might say, well, that's a very tall order. That's a big ask. How are we going to help people out there get to know Jesus? Well, I would say that the fruits of the Spirit go a long way. You see, if the people outside in the community look into our lives, into our hearts, they look into this place, and they see us displaying those fruits, it's something that's very attractive. It's something that they might want to get to know a little bit better. Now, we were very privileged throughout the end of November through into December with everything that went on in this building, that a lot of people that don't normally come to church came into this building. We had the Arts Trail. They came in, we did something in here, they came through. We had the pantomime, people came into the building. We had the school carol concerts. Do you know, we had over 1,000 people come into this building for those 3 concerts. And the school were brilliant because they allowed me to tell the parents and the children all about the love of God and what Jesus means to me. That was such an honor. And then we had the carol services, we had the Christingles, we had the Christmas Day services, we had our normal services. Lots of people coming into our church. And you could tell by some of the people's reaction that they could sense the fruit of the Spirit in this building through the people that are here. Love. Now, did you know that the language that the Apostle Paul, whenever we're talking about Paul here, incidentally, it's not me, it's the Apostle Paul. And he wrote it in a language called Greek. And in Greek, they've got 4 different words for the type of love. And the love that we are talking about is what they call agape. And that love means the love we've got for each other, as friends, as family. And we, you know, the more that love grows, and that love is about putting other people before yourself. We talk about love as if it's a sort of an affectionate thing, but it's about putting the needs and wants of other people before your own and making sure that other people are okay. Loving them, putting their interests first. And then we've got joy and peace. Now that is a tough one, because I'm learning that peace particularly is about contentment. It's about being satisfied with what you've got and where you're at. And in this world, that's very, very difficult, because people are always telling us that we should have more, more, more. But true peace comes from being contented with our relationship with God, with where we're at within the world and the relationship we've got with others. And that joy, really, essentially, is out of that peace, becomes an enthusiasm for life. Enthusiasm for doing things. And then we've got patience. Now, if you're going to be a family, you've got to have patience. And it's not easy. But I suppose one way of thinking about it is thinking about how patient God is with us. I don't know about you, He's very, very patient with me. He has to be. Now, shouldn't I be trying and learning and accepting God's help with being patient with others? Kindness and goodness. You'd have thought that would have been taken as, you know, well, that's what we should be doing, we're Christians. But we live in a world that is not kind. And one of the most encouraging things I've seen recently, I like a comedian called Chris Addison. And I saw a picture, I saw something of him on YouTube getting an honorary degree at a university. And he had to give the address to all the students. And he said to the students, if I can give you one thing to take away from here, is be kind. I thought, yeah, definitely. How often are we kind to people? You know, how often are we showing that goodness that Jesus had? Jesus was kind to people. He reached out to those that nobody else wanted to touch, to love. And it's something that we ought to be thinking about, is how can we be kind to other people? A kind word, an encouragement, a hug, perhaps, if it's appropriate. Just asking somebody how they are. And if they tell you, listen. Just be kind. And goodness. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We've been singing that in that hymn for years. And hopefully that if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we will start shining that goodness, that what comes out of our lives isn't ugly, but it's good. Gentleness. Now, some people think gentleness is not a very manly thing to do. Your average rugby player is not gentle. I think gentleness means compassion. It means compassion. It means seeing somebody in need and your heart goes out to them and you think, how can I help them? Instead of just looking at something and walking away. And it's so, so difficult to do that in this world. It can get an overload. Sharon and I enjoy watching a program called Father Brown. Some of you may have watched it. It's on during the day, so we record it. And it's very gentle. It's a murder mystery. But in between each, you know, they have the adverts. It is absolutely rammed with charities asking for money. You know, donkey sanctuaries, pets homes, third world countries, water, children in this country that are in trouble, all the rest of it. And the problem is you get compassion fatigue. And you don't do anything because you just swamp with it. And I remember somebody once saying, if you swapped the word compassion for love, could you possibly have love fatigue? Could you run out of love? It'd be very difficult, wouldn't it, if we truly knew how to love. Compassion. And as God's love comes into us more, and so that fruit grows, our compassion for the world outside will grow. And I warn you now, that can sometimes be painful. But as together, as a family, as we become more compassionate, so we will be reaching out to those in need. Faithfulness. And I think in faithful, quick, in a sentence. Conscientious. Are we faithful in how we live our lives? Are we faithful in what we do? When we do something, do we try and do our best? Do we, you know, are we faithful in what we do? When people work with us or at school, do they see you being conscientious? And do they see a person that is representing God? I always remember when I was in admin management, and it was very difficult at the best of times, but there was one woman who made my life absolute hell. She was such a... Nobody liked her. You know, if you try and put somebody in the same office, you'd have all sorts of trouble. And it was really hard to love this lady because she was just so awkward. Always moaning, always complaining, always the last in, always the first out. After I left, I found out she was a leading light in one of the local churches. It was just like, oh my life. What do people see of us? Do they see that faithfulness? Do they see it working out through our lives? And the last one is self-control. Now, as I said, I've got self-control of a three-year-old or even a two-year-old, especially when it comes to chocolates and chips and things like that. But I've got to be good this year. But I thought about, on a more practical level, I suppose self-control is looking at something and saying, is this going to be good for me or not? Or is this actually going to be bad for me? And the other thing, which ties in so much with so many of the others, is about choosing your words carefully. What you say to each other. How often is a careless word? A lack of self-control in what we're saying hurt somebody else's feelings. And I mean, you might go, I don't know, if I have to listen to Loder prattle on for another 10 minutes, I'm going to do my edit. I'm sorry. It's a crime against humanity. I'm going to have to tell him. It's the right thing to do. Could hurt my feelings. Maybe true. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Sometimes we need to exercise self-control in what we say and what we do for other people. Being aware of the consequences, because in our modern world, especially with the internet and Facebook and emails and WhatsApp and all the rest of it, it is so easy to just fire off something and not be aware of the consequences of how that might have been perceived. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. In the same way that you will know an apple tree by the apple, that you will know an orange tree by an orange, that you will know a banana tree by a banana. So people will know that we are Christ's sons and daughters by the fruit that we bear. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let's just quickly pray. Father God, we want to serve you. We want to be faithful in what you do. And we want people, when they look at us, that they know that we belong to you. That we are displaying and producing your fruit. Father, may your Holy Spirit fill us this morning that we might shine all these attributes of the fruits. Father, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.